resources to do the doing and the being, which are different resources than faculty who can stand up in front and talk. So these are all changes that are going on so that 10 years from now we are nimble enough to constantly change the curriculum as we need to change the curriculum in the business school to meet the needs of our external stakeholders, who are the employers who hire our students. And we've also made a deliberate decision to focus on West Michigan for the most part. We are not a national or international competitor, nor do we want to be. But we serve the state of Michigan and primarily West Michigan because I think, so we have probably close to 20,000 alum in the business college, and a large proportion of them, no matter where they come from in the state, they stay in West Michigan. They get here, they like it, they stay. We have a number that still go back to the east side of the state, to the Detroit area, but still 40% of the students in the Grand Valley come from the east side of the state, not Detroit area, but the east side, if you draw a line, the east side. But 40% don't go back because we are the fastest growing economy in the state right now, and there are a lot of jobs in this area. And for some reason, people come here and then they like it. They like living in West Michigan, so they choose to stay in West Michigan. So that's what we're doing in terms of our curriculum. That's why all these changes are going on. It's not as fast as I like it, but it's pretty fast relative to the rest of the university. And the university, the provost's office, is really happy with us. And part of the reputation we have now is, oh, that Seidman, they're changing something. They're innovating, they're changing. We created the first badge, which is a post-baccalaureate credential that is not a full degree. We created that. We, with the help of the provost's office, put it through the curriculum process, created a new line, a new process structure in the curriculum process for the university, so that now when anybody wants to create a badge, it's all set up for them. All they have to do is put the curriculum through. When you are the first one out in doing those things, it takes a lot of extra time to build new processes and new ways of doing things. But we're starting to build that reputation that that's what we do, and that's really, really important, I think, for a business school. So, faculty change initiatives, student enrollment, talked a little bit about the university, I'll talk about the budget. And then some of our key challenges, I'll add to those, and then I'll open this for Q&A. The budget, the number of students at Grand Valley is declining. I expect that to continue. And it's not just the number of incoming students. The decline is not just because the number of incoming students is declining. As a matter of fact, the first year class this year was one of the biggest classes that we've had. But retention. Retention between the first and second year and between the third and fourth year. We're not exactly sure why that is, but we do know that if we look at Gen Z students who are in college today, they're not loyal to any one place. They are far more economically focused, whereas the millennials were far more experiential focused, and it was they wanted to have the experiences, the Gen Z. They want it to be economical, they want to get through, they want to know what it's going to cost, and they want to get a job. If you think about it, it makes sense, because many of the Gen Z students grew up during the recession. Their parents lost their jobs, some of them lost their homes. And so they saw their family struggle financially as a result of the economic downturn. So they are much more focused on being sustainable economically as an individual, or if they're married, as their family. So they don't want all this nonsense of climbing walls. They want help when they need it, if it's mental health support that they need, or special services that they need. They want to do this in a cost-effective way. So and that means that maybe they don't take all their classes here, or maybe they don't stay here and they go back home because they don't want to spend the money. We're still looking at the retention issues and why retention, and this is across the university, not specifically to Seidman. Why our retention isn't as strong as it was? Our retention The university is still stronger than most of the state universities in the state, except Michigan and Michigan State, probably Michigan Tech. But compared to a lot of the others, we still have, and nationally, we have a strong retention rate, but it's not where it used to be. So that's one of the things the university is looking at, so how can we improve retention? And those are the things that we have to focus on, and some of that retention is by having the professional development in other services and other offerings that the students might want. So last year we had a budget cut, well, there was a budget cut across the university, and Stephen, what, do you know what percentage our budget cut was last year, Paul? About 4?
Across the university, for us, it was 4%.
Okay.
For CSSM.
So we knew it was coming. I've been talking about declining enrollment since my first year here. Because you have to look macro, you have to look nationally, and you have to look across the state, and you have to know what's happening historically. And it was clear that this was coming. Just look at the demographics, and you knew what was coming. So last year, Paul and I, when we looked at the budget cut, we planned. We said, this isn't going to be the only year we're going to have this. So we planned for the second year. And we have about the same percentage of a budget cut this year. But it's not affecting anyone this year because we made those adjustments and reallocations last year, so you wouldn't have to go through this again this year. And hopefully that's all we'll have to do this year. But it will continue unless we find other forms of revenue. So you know our key challenges: faculty, space for our students, because we have so many of them, retention. We have an aging faculty and staff. There will be a lot of retirements in the next 5 to 7 years. That creates opportunities, but it also creates challenges because we are, as I said, struggling keeping up with the faculty resources that we need. On the positive side, we have a new president coming. And this is both good and bad for many of us. We have a new president coming, and she is Philomena Bantella, she goes by Philly, is coming from Northeastern University. And we're in for some change, so we have to be ready for change. If you don't like change, you're not going to like being here. If you don't like change, you kind of like being here now anyway. I say this because I was at a Dean's Conference, an ACSB Dean's Conference a couple of weeks ago, and I met the business dean from Northeastern. Mm-hmm. And he was giving a presentation. I walked up to him before the presentation and I introduced myself. He said, oh, Philly's going to you, isn't it? And I said, yes. She's going to come and be our president. He said, you're really lucky. And then he said, this is what I said to Philly when she announced it. He said, Philly, when they write the history of Northeastern, your name is going to be up there in gold because of all of what you've done for Northeastern. She was there for 18 years. I remember Northeastern 18 years ago because I was in New England. I was at the University of Maine, and it was struggling. It's a private institution in Boston. We have no competition here compared to the Boston area for higher ed. He did a presentation. He said, I'm going to talk about what she's done. And he started this presentation, and he gave her credit for it. And so the best way I can explain it is there's the traditional track for college-age students in academic affairs, this traditional track. She didn't come out of the traditional track. She didn't have anything to do with the traditional track. But she built all of these programs for veterans, for adult learners, for people who needed reskilling and retraining. She built all of these peripheral programs around the traditional track of programs. And at the same time, they built the quality of those traditional programs. And Northeastern is now one of the top schools in the Boston area. They have their incoming undergrads, just the regular, and they have a in engineering, they have a co-op program where you go to school for a semester, you work for a semester. They have a co-op program in their business school. One of the few in the country. And these programs, these peripheral programs, badges, master's degrees, non-traditional degrees, things like that, that has helped us really support the resources for Northeastern. And again, Northeastern's a private school, so it's more expensive than what we are. But she built all of that, and Northeastern's reputation is really, really strong. It takes a lot of change in the way we do things, our processes, and the way we budget, and the way we think, and the risks we're willing to take, and in our ability to collaborate across colleges and units within the university. We don't have any of those. We need all of those components if we are going to survive the next 10 to 20 years as a university the size we are. We also need those so we can continue to support our external centers. We have the SBDC State, the SBD Region, we have the Van Andel Global Trade, we have CEI. Those all take money. And we have to be able to support them, not just with finances, but with our resources and our other personnel support. And we want them to be integrated into who we are. That will take a change in the way we do things and the way we think about. So is the change over? No. We're not even close to 25% of the way through the change that we really need to have. And it's going to take all of us together, the faculty, all of you, the staff, to work together on doing this. And to be open-minded to say, okay, let's try it. Okay, we can work together. We work in silos. The departments here work in silos. The departments have to work together. The units have to work together. The centers already know the more we can integrate into our curriculum, the more we can integrate our students into what they do, the more sustainable and the more successful we're going to be. So I guess my ending message is, put on your seatbelt, get ready for the ride, because we're not going to stop. We are one of the top business schools in the state. We're one of the top business schools in the region, this region of the Midwest. I expect us to stay there. And I expect us to always remember we are doing this for our external stakeholders, those who hire our students. We're doing this for the community, and we're doing this for the students. It's not for us. It's for them. So I'll take questions if you have any.
What is the what exactly is the badge you were talking about?
So there's this new term called the badge. It used to be called the certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one that we have already created is the one on emerging leaders, and it's for people who have technical backgrounds and they're just starting to be put into supervisory roles, but they don't know anything about how a business operates. We started it because companies came to us, organizations, but started with the healthcare organizations, not Spectrum, but others, saying, we need some help training technicians, nurse technicians or radiology technicians or people like that, who would now have to supervise others and they have to manage. They don't understand the functions of a business. They don't understand how organizations operate. They don't understand any of that. And as we started talking to more companies, we realized this was a really big need. And so we put together a badge on emerging leaders. It's a post-baccalaureate credential, so they have to have an undergraduate degree. Badges can also be done at the undergraduate level. They can be really small, they can be a little bit bigger. Most other institutions, including Northeastern, they stack them. They have stackable badges that turn into degrees. We don't have anything like that. But think about it, if you're out working, you might want to have a little bit of retraining here, a little bit more in another year, and a little bit more in another year. But you want that to lead to something. And leading to a specialized master's degree would be great. We've never had to do that here because we've always had enough undergraduate traditional students. Now we have to start thinking about this.
When will it be?
Hopefully sometime all part of our executive MBA, and Barry retired. And so we haven't had a, and that's another thing. We, Barry retired last August. We did a search for him. Barry is the, was the director of the executive MBA program. And we failed the search. Because talent, everybody has talent issues. That means there's not a lot of people out there looking for jobs because our employment rate is so low. So finding the right talent is really hard right now. Finding someone isn't so hard, but finding the right person is extremely hard.
Dan, you had mentioned the 4% cuts in consecutive years. What measures did you take to meet that, that cut?
My budget person. I mean, we when before Paul says anything, we've been really careful about spending money since I arrived. We have a pretty good reserve of non-base budget money, and we've been able to use that for some innovations, but we also know we can backfill with it. So this really came out of our operating money that we knew we had extra.
Yeah, so